This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kanderson and Noel Lim. 7:06 a.m, Tuesday the 8th of September, and in about 15 minutes we're going to be speaking with Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, on the issues running up to the Sabah state elections. But before that, let's take a look at the markets.
So let's take that. Let us indeed take a look at the markets. The US was closed overnight, so the numbers right now, it was on, well, Friday numbers, it was closed almost all in the red. The S&P was down 0.8%, Dow Jones was down 0.6%, and the Nasdaq was down 1.3%. This was, again, Friday's numbers. But Europe was had quite a green day. The FTSE 100 was up 2.4%, the DAX was up 2%, and France's CAC was up 1.8%. So strong day there. And if we take a look at how Asia closed yesterday, it was quite mixed. We've got Hong Kong, Shanghai and Japan in the red. Hong Kong was down 0.4%. Shanghai was down 1.9%, and the Nikkei was down 0.5%. Korea was up 0.7%, and Australia up 0.3%.
All right, and now so for some insights into global markets, joining us on the line is Jack Kuzi, Director of Strategy at VFS Group. Jack, thank you so much for joining us. Now, SoftBank stock fell 7% yesterday following news that they had made massive bets on technology stocks using equity derivatives, and despite the Financial Times reporting that it made $4 billion in paper gains. Why do you think this shook investors?
I think maybe investors were worried about the amount of call options they had on the tech heavy index. And I mean, they got a bad lead from the Nasdaq, as you just pointed out before I came on. And I think markets or investors were just taking some profits off the table. I mean, SoftBank, for all the criticism that they get, they do have some really valuable assets. I mean, we talk about ride sharing. They've got a lot in that, major stakes all around the globe. We also talk about things like Nvidia and Arm and Slack. So I think it's just a bit of profit-taking off a stock that's done really well in the last couple of months. And, of course, when you hear that a company has a boatload of call options when the Nasdaq's had its best or its worst fall in 3 or 4 months, you know, that's enough to shake some investors out of the stock.
Well, if we are talking about SoftBank, well, some investors do see these trades as a big risk to SoftBank because, you know, option strategies can, you know, blow up in quite unpredictable ways. So you're still bullish on the stock?
I mean, look, it's got a lot of good assets. Do I think they own assets that are going to do well in the future? Yes. I don't have a position in the stock, but I wouldn't use it as a reason to sell it at this point in time, if that's what you're asking me.
So, Jack, overall, we've seen news reports indicate that SoftBank could have been one of the driving forces behind the tech rally we've seen. And most option trades were actually booked by day traders. And some analysts, I think one that spoke to Bloomberg, noted that this particular strategy employed by SoftBank is not the majority of what's being seen in the market. What do you think about this, about the influence that SoftBank could have possibly had in the tech rally over the last few months?
Yeah, I think it's a little bit ridiculous. Look, let's just talk about this retail trading and this institutional trading, because I think that's where we're talking about in what's leading this market. Let me make this clear. In my opinion, it is not the Robin Hood traders that are leading the market or leading the market to go up. It's kind of like going to a concert, right? And when you go to a concert, you're there to see the major band. But before the major band comes out, they have a lead band that comes in. And that is my opinion on what is happening in the market. It's the retail traders that are possibly leading the dance, but then it's the institutions and the bots and the algorithms that are coming in and having that forcing hand. So, yeah, people like SoftBank, but there's also big banks out there, big hedge traders, big funds that are pushing this market up. So, yes, we have seen a wave of, you know, Robin Hood traders coming in and buying call options and buying stock and pushing Tesla to past 4,000 and Apple, and we've seen that, but they are only leading that dance. The thing about the US market is the invisible steady hand or the biggest hand there is undoubtedly the institutions. They've got billions and billions of dollars on the sideline and they're looking for that. So, you know, I've heard about this, you know, this rally being led or being caused by Robinhood traders. I don't believe that. Yes, they are the initial ones, but it's the institutions that are picking up and the institutions still have a lot of money on the sideline. So that's the real power in markets, particularly in the US market. It's still in the hands of the institutions. It's just the Robinhood traders that are essentially maybe leading them through.
So with all this algorithm trades that are taking place, does this pose a systemic risk to the market?
I mean, we've had algorithm trading for now for you know, 10 years, it's nothing new. I mean, there are always systemic risks in the market. You know, we had a systemic risk to the market only in March. We had a virus that came out of nowhere. There are constantly systemic risks, and the market will adjust to that. So, you know, you asked me on Wednesday, you said, are you still bullish US markets? And I said, yes. And of course, the market dropped 6% after that. But, you know, there are corrections. The market does make corrections. And when it gets out of hand, like we saw the NASDAQ, which was up 10 sessions in a row, the market came in and made a healthy correction. Now, the problem with these corrections at this point in time, particularly for new investors or retailers, is they're so large and they're so quick that you don't get time to react. So, yes, there are always systemic risks, but the market is bigger and better and smarter than anyone, and it will adjust in time. Sometimes it shoots to the downside and to the upside and overextends, but, you know, market forces will always prevail, in my opinion, and they will always come to the party.
Now, Jack, taking a look at China's top chip maker, SMIC, that was down 23% yesterday on concerns of possible U.S. sanctions, which could restrict suppliers from providing it with American-based tech without special permission. How does this play into your thesis around the chip maker?
Oh, God, I thought you guys were my friends. I thought we were friends, guys. Yeah, it was a tough day for Jack yesterday. It was a really tough day. Earlier in the year, I was asked to pick my best four Chinese stocks. This was number one. And I had Meituan, Jiangping, Alibaba, and Xiaomi. And I reaffirmed that in April. Look, it was a tough time. The company's had a tough time in the last month. I mean, the stock is down 50% in the last month, but it is up 300% since, you know, December last year. This is tough because China is trying to build a closed-loop sector for their chip making. So, you know, they understand that they have a foreign, you know, they've got too much dependence on foreign chips. And if you talk about the trade war or the tech war, you know, the king piece on that chessboard is the chip, because if you can make your own chips, then everything we do in terms of communication and technology comes off the chip. And China was trying to make this their focal point. They wanted SMIC to be their local champion or their national champion. Look, I'm waiting and watching. My thesis hasn't changed. And my thesis is China continues to want to remove their foreign dependence on chip making, particularly US chip dependence, and SMIC is at the center of that. So a tough day yesterday, but I continue to be bullish the stock. I continue to own the stock. I didn't sell anything and I didn't buy anything yesterday, but I may look to up that position. And it is still, I know, in this tough market, my number one stock out of China.
Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning, Jack, and hope you feel better in the days to come. Roshan, I see you've pulled up the SMIC on the Bloomberg terminal.
Yeah, I just wanted to take a look at its revenues, right? So if we take a look at last year's 2019's revenues were around $450 million for the year. 2018 was about $508 million. This year, the 2020 full year is projected to be around $3.7 billion. And that's a really big number, a big jump there. They saw about almost just about $900 million in the first two quarters of the year. In comparison, Q1 last year was around $670 million and Q2 last year was around $800 million. And basically, I think the thesis there is that, according to Jack Kuzi, chip makers are king makers in the market.
Back to this thing about SoftBank, right? So I think quite interesting things that they are trying to do, but I think investors do remain quite concerned about their latest strategies, or, you know, coming in a very big way supporting the tech rally and their option trading strategies, because, you know, it comes with a different set of risk, right? And so I think the question really is, I think they call it a SoftBank, whether it would be somewhat of a black box, right? Would there be more transparency on their trades?
Absolutely. So SoftBank is also definitely one that we're going to be watching, especially after yesterday's fall wiped, I think, $9 billion off of its market value. But right now we have some messages coming up for you. And then up next, we're speaking with Professor James Chin, Professor of Asian Studies at the University of Tasmania, on the upcoming Sabah state elections. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.